Hey guys, welcome back to another podcast. My name is Colby Shinaki, and on this episode, we're going to be talking about detours. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Here on this podcast, I have one very clear goal, and that's to equip you and to encourage you into stepping into everything that God has for your life. Also, if you would please subscribe, rate, and leave a review, it would really help me out a ton into getting this message out to reach as many people as possible. So I hope you enjoy today's message. Years ago, my family took a trip to New York, which is easily one of my favorite cities in the world. And this was my second time going, so there was still a ton of things that I never got to do, so this trip was incredible, but there was this one moment on the trip where I literally had the worst attitude of my life. Like, I don't remember why I was in such a bad mood, but I was the kid in this moment that everyone hated. I was just a buzzkill. But it was the Christmas season, and everything in every part of the city was beautiful. And towards the end of the day, we found ourselves in Macy's because all the little kids wanted to go see Santa. But I was not having it. I was ticked. I was pouting. I was being a jerk. So we get to the line to go see Santa, and it's long. Like, I think the wait time was 2 hours just to see Santa. But we were going through, and I'm mad. My mom's yelling at me, saying things that should terrify a kid, like, you just wait till we get back home. And while that's going on, everybody else is still trying to have a good time, and keep in mind there's like 11 of us. But we finally make it to the end of the line 2 hours later, and do you guys know how mad you have to be to stay mad for that long? Like, at this point, I don't even know why I was mad, but at this point I had to stay looking mad just to keep up the act. And so we get our picture with Santa, and now to this day, the picture that we have with my whole family, everybody's smiling and having a good time, and I'm just sitting there mad and pouting because I had to sit in this line that I didn't want to go through, and now I missed out on a family memory forever. And there's a story in the Bible that really makes me think about that story in my life. The particular story that we're going to be focusing on is found in John 4. It's the very first verse, and the story unfolds as Jesus is leaving Judea with his disciples to head to Galilee. And the story goes on that these Jews have to pass through this place called Samaria to get to Galilee. And as they were in this place, they had to stop at a well because they were tired. And as they were in this town called Sychar, a woman came to get water. And then we see this encounter with Jesus and this woman, who is nonetheless what we would call a desperate housewife of those days. But the story unfolds after these two dialogue, and the story is a great story that ends up with the entire city believing in Jesus. It really is a fantastic story with so much depth if you take the time to study it. But I don't really want to focus on the story as a whole. I want to focus on the little verse that's found in John chapter 4, verse 4, and it says that they had to go through Samaria. See, they didn't actually have to go through Samaria. They could have completely avoided it, and to some people back then, they should have. Sure, the route through Samaria was the quickest way to get to Galilee, but there were actually two other routes that a typical Jewish man would take to avoid Samaria entirely. There were two other routes the Jews should have taken because the Jews viewed the Samaritans as half-breeds, as less than, disgusting people, because that's what they grew up being taught. See, families would tell ghost stories about how bad of people they were. Which is odd because they were technically related as brothers and sisters and cousins. And what I'm about to tell you is going to put the rest of the story in perspective for you, because this woman, in their dialogue, asked Jesus the very question that has separated the Samaritans and the Jews to the point that they are at now. See, the nation of Israel was divided into two nations in the days of Rehoboam. Israel was composed of 10 tribes to the north, and Judea was made up of Judah and Benjamin. The animosity between the Jews and the Israelites began immediately after the division, as Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom. Rehoboam assembled an army to make war against Israel to reunite the kingdom, but God intervened through his prophet Shemaiah. Later, in speaking of the reign of Abijam, Jeroboam's son, says there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Immediately after the division, Jeroboam changed the worship of the Israelites. No longer did the inhabitants of the north travel to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice and worship. Instead, Jeroboam set up idols in Dan and Bethel. So the big division was because the Samaritans viewed Mount Gerizim to be the only place to worship, whereas the Jews viewed Jerusalem as being the only place to worship. And later, after Israel's fall to the Assyrians, they began to intermarry with the Assyrians, contrary to Deuteronomy. This is why the Jews hated the Samaritans as dogs and half-breeds. And now we're here in the New Testament. And that's why it's so important to know the tension that's in the story, because the disciples and Jesus grew up being taught to either take the coastal route or the mountain route to avoid Samaria. But Jesus decided to take these guys straight through the area that they would have otherwise avoided. On this podcast, my favorite topic to talk about is purpose. And I was reading this the other day, and I feel like I found something that was pretty cool, and that you can gear towards the purpose of your life and what I believe God is trying to do in your life and mine. See, our Christian walk is a lot like the disciples in the story. We have Jesus with us, and he's calling us to go through an area that makes us uncomfortable. It makes us second guess, and it makes us think that this Jesus guy is going crazy. And we think to ourselves, he wants me to go through Samaria? Doesn't he know what's in there? Doesn't he know the types of people that are in there? The things that they are doing that goes against everything that I've ever known? That's kind of like the world, isn't it? When Jesus calls us and gives us a purpose, it goes against everything that this world has taught us. It goes against the status quo. It goes against the things that we thought were right. And it takes us right into the middle of what we would define as the most uncomfortable place to be in. But here's the sad part, is that the miracle only happens when we go into that place with Jesus. It only happens when we suck up our pride and say, okay, God, I trust you. This is gonna suck and it's gonna be uncomfortable, but I trust you. But so many people are taking the other routes. So many people are taking the route that goes around what God has intended for your life. And it's possible to go through this entire life and miss out on everything that God has for you. And yeah, they're Christians, but they're missing it. Don't you see? Don't you want to be a part of the story? Don't you want to see it happen right in front of you? I don't know about you guys, but one of the things that I hate hearing the most is when I have a friend get excited to tell me something that him and some other people did the other day, and he goes, bro, you missed it. That gets under my skin so much. But here's the thing. Jesus invites you to go each and every time with him. He wants to show you stuff. He wants to do stuff in your life, and he has a purpose for your life that is greater than you can ever imagine. But if you ever want to see that unfold, it's going to have to involve you going through the Samaria in your own life. This has been a huge topic for me lately. Just this idea of missing it, not living up to my full potential, not accomplishing the story that God has for me. Guys, I want to see it happen. I want to see Jesus move. I want to see him reach the people that we would define as half-breeds. I want to see him show off his great love through me. I want to see this Jesus that we talk so much about and so highly about on full display in my life. But the only way that happens is when we follow him and we don't take the detours.